Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yesterday we talked about the skeptic's dilemma. Yeah. Many skeptics come to the Word of God, come to an examination of Jesus Christ with some presuppositions. And one of those presuppositions is called philosophical naturalism. And it's the belief or idea that only natural laws and forces operate in the world. So there's no such thing as the supernatural realm. So that renders useless miracles and, all of those things that are a part of the Bible. And many people that come to the Bible with that presupposition will read some of the stories, and when they come to the miracles, they'll believe, you know, the historical aspect of it. But when it comes to the miracles, they'll reject those wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Why? Because they don't believe the supernatural exists. I came, and I talked about this yesterday, but I came out of a scientific background, studied biology in college, have a degree in biology, and I met with this philosophy just time and time again with all of my professors. Almost every one of them held to this belief system that only the natural existed, only the material existed. So what does that mean? That we have to look for an explanation as to why things are within the natural realm or the material realm. And if we can't find an answer today, just give us some time. We'll figure it out. We'll explore a little more. We'll get to, you know, deeper levels as far as this life is concerned, and we'll see what those explanations are. But as you dive deeper into the scientific evidence, into the biological evidence, it becomes more and more clear that there has to be a creator, that there has to be somebody behind the intricate designs that make up each and every one of us. We are complicated as far as our makeup. And when you just dive deeper into that and you see the complexities, you see how everything just works together just perfectly, you have to step back and say, there has to be another explanation for why this is the way it is than just simply the natural laws or the material world. There has to be somebody beyond what we see that has brought all this together. That's where the evidence leads. But when somebody starts to walk down that path who holds this philosophical naturalism as their premise for life as to why things are, then they'll turn a blind eye to where the evidence is leading. We see that time and time and time again. But we don't have to do that. We can just let the evidence speak for itself. It's going to bring us to a point where we're going to have to say there's something beyond this world that has made everything that the way that it is. And if there's somebody beyond this world, I wonder what he's like. I wonder what he thinks about me. Is there any possible way to know him? And that's where this gospel message comes into play. We can examine the evidence of the Bible. We can examine the claims of Christ. We can examine the eyewitness testimonies concerning Christ. And we can come to a reasonable conclusion that supernatural things are the reason or the cause for all of this. And that opens up our hearts and minds to experience truth, the reality of Christ in us, our hope of glory.
Absolutely. That's the good news from Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. We'd love for you to join us. Pose a question or a topic of conversation at 844-322-2742. If you are struggling with skepticism or one of the myriad reasons that we stumble over the gospel, why, we would like to hear from you. We'd like to discuss it with you. You know, the importance of giving through Basic Gospel can't be overstated. You've heard the voices of people out there there, people with real life circumstances, people like Ryan, who called in on the broadcast, I believe, just yesterday. Many listeners are facing life issues. If you've heard their questions, some who have, as one listener put it some time ago, been beaten up and knocked down and all but dragged out by the things that they've heard from the pulpit, for instance, and you know, just the basic issues of everyday life. Well, those times, Basic Gospel has been there with answers. Our heart's desire is to keep the good news coming, freeing people from that bondage of legalism, shining the light of the gospel into lives under stress, and we hope that you'll continue to help or help for the first time. And when you do, a copy of Cold Case Christianity will be our way of saying thank you for standing with us. Just click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift and request your copy of Cold Case Christianity. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. And a quick program note, on Monday, we will welcome the author of Cold Case Christianity, the book, of course, that we're offering for your gift this month to Basic Gospel. He is Los Angeles County Crime Scene Investigator J. Warner Wallace. That should be, Bob and Richard, a very interesting conversation. Again, that's on Basic Gospel this coming Monday. And on Tuesday, we'll be welcoming again Larry Alex Taunton. And, of course, we talked with him some time ago about his book, The Faith of Christopher Hitchens. And what are you going to talk about this time?
Well, he is a perfect guest to fit in with our topic this month, apologetics. I mean, yes. He arranges debates between atheists and Christians. And, you know, he's able to bring out what atheists really believe, what motivates them, what compels them. He knows what their arguments are, and he knows how to answer those arguments through clarity and conviction and compassion from his understanding of the Word of God. So I think he's going to be just fascinating, compelling to listen to, as is J. Warner Wallace on Monday. Yeah. I have seen him speak. He is a very compelling figure. So I think both days are going to be riveting radio, gold radio. So make sure you tune in Monday and Tuesday. Tell your friends, gather them around the radio, around your computer, whatever it might be. Share the broadcast with your friends through our app and all of those sort of things. I think this is just going to be great radio. It's going to be information that is going to help you in your walk with Jesus. I think it's going to help you gain a rock-solid faith in the Lord himself by understanding how you can examine the facts and really come to solid convictions concerning the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus.
So two very interesting guests on successive days, Monday and Tuesday, right here on Basic Gospel. Well, right now, plenty of open lines. We want to hear from you, 844-322-2742. Guys, we had a call that came in off hours from Montana. Let's listen to that call right now.
Yeah, I'm curious about the rapture of the church. And actually, what happens first, the rapture of the church, or does God call all of his children home first? Thank you.
Sweet and quick.
That's right. All of that. Well, you know, we get a lot of questions about the rapture, and, you know, we're talking about end times events. We're trying to figure out exactly how it's going to be laid out. You know, as I started growing in Christ, I had a Scofield study Bible. And Scofield is one that promoted the dispensational viewpoint, as a theological viewpoint. And so he divided the Word of God into seven different dispensations, and how God, I guess, initiated toward man within each dispensation. But one of the big things that Scofield and that group kind of brought forward was this idea of a pre-trib rapture. Yes. And that was their signature, I guess, theological viewpoint. And so they had it all nicely laid out. You know, here's what's going to happen. And once this domino falls, then we can just count it off with our calendar. It's just going to be like clockwork. And I held to that for many, many years, and taught it and believed it. And then I started realizing that most of what I understood about that theological viewpoint I had gotten from C.I. Scofield's study notes, not from the Word of God itself.
Yeah.
And then I read some of Tim LaHaye's materials, and those are fascinating books, intriguing books, interesting books, controversial books, books that stir conversation and all of that. But again, it was a nice and neatly wrapped theological position that they had parsed out, but I couldn't really see it in the Word of God. So what we do know is Christ is going to come back.
Yes.
That's great news. What I do know is that those that have been marked out by the Holy Spirit are going to be with him, or he's coming to get those who have been marked out. I also know that those that have been marked out are going to be saved from the wrath to come. So that wrath is not going to be directed toward us. That's just simply going to be directed toward those who have rejected Jesus, mm-hmm. who have put their face up in the air, their fist up in the air to God saying, no, I don't want your life. I don't want anything to do with Jesus. I'm going to live on my own and do my own thing. As C.S. Lewis said, there are people who are going to bow their knee to Christ today. There are others that are going to say no and, kind of do it their own way. And they're going to experience eternal separation from God. That's just the way it is. And that wrath is going to come upon those who have rejected Jesus. So they're dead now. They're just going to experience the second death. And that second death is eternal separation from
yes.
God. That's what that is. That's what that's all about. So that's the wrath that's going to come upon those who have rejected Christ. We are saved from that wrath. Why? Because we have already been made alive together with Christ. So these are the things that we can know as far as end times are concerned. How is it all going to work itself out? I'm not exactly sure, and I don't think there's a person on the planet that knows that either. I don't think there was a person on the planet that knew exactly how Christ was going to be born into this world. I don't think anyone would have drawn up the actual story the way it happened.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone would have put Joseph and Mary in a cave and placing Jesus in a feeding trough
uh-huh.
as his bed. I don't think anybody would have drawn it up that way. I don't think anybody would have put him, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, in such humble circumstances. But that's the way it happened. Mm-hmm. And when it happened, as people started looking back on what the Word of God had said, they started to piece it together and they said, oh, yeah, this makes sense. And I think that's going to be exactly the way it is for us when the Lord comes back. We're going to be able to look on what has happened. We're going to be able to look on what the Word of God has said, and we're going to see, oh yeah, this is how it all was laid out for us. But right now, I just don't think we have eyes to clearly see down that corridor of time and to really lay out exactly how it's going to happen, other than the fact that Jesus is coming back. I'm going to be with him because I'm in Christ. I'm going to be saved from the wrath to come. It's great news, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is. I was raised with a post-trib view, and of course, I knew.
Well, you were just wrong.
I was just wrong. I knew everything that was going to happen from, whenever to whenever. And the farther along I got into Bible study, and when it became a personal study, not just echoing what I had been taught, the less I believed some of those things. And what I found is as I got more and more involved in personal Bible study, getting to know Jesus, who the Bible reveals, the more peace I had about end times. In the past, I was scared to death of it because if I'm not good enough, if I mess up, what's going to happen? And when you read a passage that I've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, a guarantee of my salvation, then I can look forward to whatever happens, whenever it happens. And that's the beauty of what has been revealed, absolutely, our hope, our guaranteed future, compared to this issue and that issue, small little details of when and how and all of that. God knows what he's doing.
Yes, he does.
And he is going to make sure that I am ready for him. That's his job. My job is to follow by grace through faith.
Richard, don't you think that many people are interested and concerned and ask these questions because of that fear? They're not sure what the future is going to hold. So that fear that, hey, I may take the mark of the beast, the fear that I may suffer, the wrath of God, the fear that this is going to come upon me. and they're not sure of who they are in Christ and what Christ has accomplished. So I think that fear is what motivates a lot of these questions.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And I resembled that. I was that fearful guy. And when the gospel awakened in my soul, the fear went away.
Yes.
Deal with first things first. Get the foundation correct. The rest of the house will take care of itself.
Yes, indeed. Yeah,
so we appreciate hearing that question from our listener in Montana. And we don't know the time or the way, but God's probably not open to suggestions, would you think?
He's going to take care of it.
Yeah. 844-322-2742. We've got time on the clock. We want to hear from you. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. 844-322-2742. And for everything that we come up against, Jesus is the first and last answer to all those tough questions that skeptics throw out, as a matter of fact. Everything in the Bible points to Jesus. But the person consumed with fear and uncertainty just can't see Jesus, at least not yet. That's why a respectful answer is so important. Those of you who support Basic Gospel are reaching people who are asking the right questions, people who have grown weary of empty answers and are hungry for truth. Now, to answer those questions, some of them at least, J. Warner Wallace, an L.A. County detective, has written a book called Cold Case Christianity, and we want to send you a copy. It'll help you provide answers to those who are skeptical of the gospel and who are sincerely seeking. So to get your copy and as our thanks for your gift to Basic Gospel, simply click donate at basicgospel.net. Again, donate at basicgospel.net.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go out to Livermore, California, and talk with William. Hi, William. Nice to hear from you.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. What's on your mind today?
Well, I was listening to what you were just saying about whether or not the church will be called up before the tribulation. And in addition to all the things that you cited, I've always felt that in 2 Thessalonians, when Paul is talking about the man of lawlessness, he says that that you know what is holding him back so that he may be revealed at the proper time. The man of lawlessness is being held back. And then he says, the one who now holds him back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. And I've always felt that the one holding him back is God, specifically the Spirit of God, living in those of us who have received him. And so if Jesus calls us up, the Holy Spirit is now taken out of the way and will no longer be holding back the man of lawlessness. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, do you really think the Holy Spirit's going to be taken out of the way? Don't you think the Holy Spirit is always going to be doing what the Holy Spirit was given the task to do?
But if the Holy Spirit exists in those who have received him, and we are all called up to meet Jesus in the sky, then isn't the Holy Spirit going with us in who he dwells?
Well, he's in us. He lives in us. He's kind of the center of the body of Christ, but he also has a work outside of us. So, I mean, he's going through the world convicting men wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. So he's having a work in the lives of unbelievers to turn their hearts toward God. So there's a work that he's doing in us. There's this abiding place that he has in us. That's where he dwells. But there's also this work that he does outside of us. And you know, you could argue, well, isn't that the work he does through us? Well, that could be. But I think the Holy Spirit is not limited to just being in believers. And I think there's many passages in the Word of God that show him hovering over the earth or coming upon various people. And so I think he's in us, but he's also has a role outside of us.
Yeah, one of the key issues at the end through the tribulation and all of that is that there are people who will accept Jesus during that time. And the very act of accepting Jesus is a Spirit-led act. And as soon as you've made that choice, the Spirit now indwells you. So the Spirit would have to be available to people during that time in order for that to happen. But it is an interesting idea. I mean, who is holding back this man of lawlessness, this Antichrist, and we're just not told. We can guess, but right. we'll know it when it happens, and that's the guarantee.
Yeah, but William, I mean, I certainly understand your point,
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that you know, there's some sense to that. That it could be a verse that would lead you to conclude that God is going to take the church out before all of that happens. So that is certainly one of the verses that
yes.
People look to support that. To support that viewpoint,
right? Well, I just my understanding is that prior to Christ, God's Spirit dwelt in the temple in the Holy of Holies, and then when Christ came, that's where His Spirit dwelt. And then Jesus told the disciples that when He goes, He'll send the Spirit to them. So it seems to me that that after Jesus ascended, He sent His Spirit to dwell in the believers, and then as they testified, or as the Spirit testified through them to others, the Spirit was sent to them as well. And I know that the Holy Spirit is God, and I can't imagine who else could hold back the man of lawlessness other than God. So it just seems, I know it doesn't say that, it just seems to be a logical conclusion. But I appreciate your input on that, and I'll give it some more thought.
Yeah, William, and if you have some great ideas, something that really clicks for you, be sure and share those with us. And
yeah.
That would be we would love to hear that. And I think what you just said, William, is key. You said that passage doesn't say that, and so you kind of have to just stick with what it says. And if we don't understand it, we're just going to have to wait and let the Lord reveal that to us. It's certainly we can infer and think, hey, you know, the circumstantial evidence, what we know from other parts of the Scripture, seems to push us down this path. And I think that's as far as we can go on some of those issues. It's pushing us down this path. It seems like that's kind of the logical and reasonable explanation, but we're not 100% sure. And I think some of these passages, I think we just have to leave it right there and just
right.
stick with what we do know is sure. Christ is coming back. You and I are going to be with Him. If we haven't died before that day, He's coming back to get us.
Yes.
And we're going to be with Him forever. And we are going to be saved from the wrath to come. That will not impact us, affect us, any of that at all. We're saved from that. And that is great news. And the reason
Absolutely.
We know that is because we have been marked out with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit.
Right, and that wrath is the second death, right?
That's exactly
yes.
right. That's exactly yeah. right. Well, thank you, William. Thanks for your call. I always
thank
love
you.
Your
yes.
keen insights. We
yes.
sure appreciate you, my friend.
Yes, we do. I want to remind you once again, friends, of two very important Basic Gospel programs coming up Monday and Tuesday. On Monday, we'll welcome the author of Cold Case Christianity. That, of course, author J. Warner Wallace, an L.A. County crime scene detective who has written this book, Cold Case Christianity, that we're offering to those of you who make a gift to Basic Gospel this month. Also on Tuesday, Larry Alex Taunton will be with us, and we look forward to that interview as well. So two great programs coming up, and we hope you'll be with us for both of them. And we want to remind you also, friends, that in the book Cold Case Christianity, where J. Walter Wallace, Warner Wallace, uses his skills that he's learned as a homicide detective to look at the evidence and the eyewitnesses behind Christian beliefs, well, he's come to some pretty solid conclusions. Christianity could, in fact, be defined as a cold case because it makes a claim about an event from the distant past for which there is little forensic evidence. Cold Case Christianity taps into the intense interest of detective stories that so many of us have, and it inspires and prepares readers to have confidence in Christ and to articulate the case for Christianity. A copy of Cold Case Christianity is our way of saying thank you for standing with us with your support for Basic Gospel this month. Just click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift and request your copy of Cold Case Christianity. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. By the way, if you have a question while we're off the air, you can call 844-322-2742 and record that question. We'd love to address it on Basic Gospel. We'll be back tomorrow for our teaching edition through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. I hope you'll join us. See you then. Bye-bye.